Hey guys, it's Damien from Marketing Food Online. Today's podcast is going to be about how to scale your small food business and when is the right time to begin to take that next step to the next level. Okay, guys, so let's get right into it. As always, guys, welcome to Marketing Food Online. I hope you guys are having a great day. If you are not familiar with our YouTube channel, check us out on YouTube at Marketing Food Online. We discuss everything and show you everything you need to know to get your recipe to market. If you happen to be creating a food product or developing a food business and everything in between. So if you're starting from home, that's great. I've got a lot of resources to show you how that'll work, from your cottage food laws up to a commercial facility getting your product mass produced, or you create your own product and produce it yourself. So today I wanted to get into, I've been fighting a little bit of a cold, so sorry guys. Today I wanted to get into, again, my apologies about the phone. I do film some of my podcasts actually in a room that is adjacent to my main office in the candy company. So every now and then the phone does ring. I apologize. So let's get right back into it. So there's going to be about, I'm going to cover five specific things. And this is not an all-inclusive, like everything you need to know about scaling a food business in five simple steps. Because honestly, there's a lot of other variables that I'm not going to cover in the podcast. I could sit here and probably talk to you for 3 or 4 hours straight about all the different facets and different things you need to think about when it comes to scaling. So these are five that I think are really the most important, especially if you're relatively new to the food business. If you've been in the food business a while and you've scaled your business and you know how it works, these would probably be things that you've already experienced. Much of my resources are about food startups and, of course, those who are just getting into the food business or have a passion for food, but they're not sure where to go. So that information is what I'll cover today. So when is the right time? Number one, that is the biggest question, is if you've started a food business from home and obviously you're under the cottage food laws, your limitations are pretty well established for you. And what I mean by that is that they already, a lot of states preset the dollar amount as far as how much you can sell from your home. Also, the places that you can sell, the venues, that's kind of already predetermined for you too. You can't really do business online. So there's a lot of variables that come into play that can restrict you. But if you're starting from home and you have an opportunity to develop into a commercial facility or maybe utilize a commercial kitchen and start producing it on a larger scale in a licensed facility, that opens up the different venues for you, okay, that won't be so limited, then this information will be great for you. Because there's a lot of ways that you can grow a food business from home in regards to what you can make and how much you can make up into the limits, but those limitations will kind of put a cap on a lot of other variables. So when is the right time to actually scale the food business when you're from home? What I would say is, number one, when you've got to the point that you are maxed out with the dollar amount, let's say you're in a certain state, and I'm just going to give an example. Let's say you're in Oregon, and as an example, it was $20,000 a year. Well, the first year you're in business, you've maxed out that $20,000 limit, right? So when you're in your home and you are, once you've already maxed out the dollar amount that you know that you can sell through your home, and you see that you've got some successful outlets such as farmers markets, or you've got different venues that you sell through that is bringing you a constant flow of business, then that may be the point that you need to step yourself into a commercial kitchen, because as your cash flow increases, you'll have the capital you need to move into a commercial kitchen, rent a space that would then allow you to produce as much as you want, or begin to get a taste, if you will, for how it is to run a commercial kitchen, which will allow you to expand. At that point, you can begin to sell to restaurants, you can begin to sell to grocery stores, and so on and so on. So your business can then begin to scale. But keep in mind, scaling is not an easy thing to do, because there's a lot of different facets involved with that. Number one, it's payroll. I mean, as you begin to grow, you can't do all of it by yourself. So you need to have someone on hand, unless you've got family who's willing to either help or work for free or part-time or something to that effect. They can help you out and begin to grow the business, but you do have payroll. Then you've got other expenses such as When you begin to get purchase orders, or if you begin to work with cafes or stores, you need to pay out in advance to get ingredients, to get packaging, to get labeling. You put out that money first, and as those purchase orders come in or those orders from those different venues, you're going to have to front that money in many cases. And you, in essence, you're having to buy it, produce it, make it, and then get paid for it, unless you have a situation where someone's paying you in advance for the product, which doesn't always happen. Normally, they pay you upon receipt. So once you've already done that, you're, like I said, you're in your home, you're doing very well, you have a steady flow of business, you've got a couple of venues that are bringing in money constantly, but you've maxed out what you can do. That is kind of the tipping point. You need to make the decision and jump into a commercial kitchen. That doesn't mean that you need to rent one every single day. You could set up a schedule where you're renting one every 2 months. Maybe, you know, you're filling up a whole bunch of orders, and then let's say the beginning of November, you rent one out, which holds you over through December and January. Or maybe it's March. Again, producing what you need to do it, and you're renting it only for a month at a time or a couple of weeks within that month. You don't need to have one every single day. Plan out those orders that you're getting in and then move from there. Now, the other thing that a lot of people don't think about when you begin to scale a food business is your process. The process that you use to create your food product, how well do you know it? Is it scalable in the sense that the way you're currently doing it, can that just be done in a larger batch? Can it just be done in a larger scale? Or do you need to rethink the entire process? Okay. Scaling a food business is a much different kind of beast, if you will, a much different beast than it is a tech company or any other kind of company for that matter that doesn't produce a food product, because there's a lot of other types of variables when it comes into play as far as producing a product. In some cases, you may be able to get some ingredients that are pre-made that cuts down your time from having to mix those ingredients. And then if it's a baked good item, you may be able to get a product or an ingredient that can create your baked good item at a much faster pace, larger scale as far as a larger batch, and so on and so on. So you may need to rethink the way you actually make the product, bag it, label it, and the process to get from A to B in the complete product. That may be different, so keep that in mind. Now, this one here, this one's a little interesting. Take a look at your current accounts, those who are buying from you. Or if you're in a position to get into a commercial kitchen, you've sold locally, and now you have some restaurants in your local area that's interested, or a grocery store that came across your item, and they're like, you know what, we would love to start getting this product from you, but you're obviously working out of your home. So if you're getting into a commercial kitchen, keep in mind and maintain really good relationships with those current accounts. Those accounts are going to be the one that helps you grow and get larger cash flow coming into your business, allowing you to make even more stuff and then get into more other outlets. So if you can drum up, if you can create multiple accounts, I wouldn't rely on just one, but if you have a handful of, let's say you were doing baked good products, just as an example, and you were in some cafes, and you had an opportunity to get into a couple coffee shops and potentially into some independent gourmet food stores. Maybe it's just a grocery store that's an independent one. And the reason why I say independent is that you want to stay away from those large corporate nationwide chains, because they don't traditionally work with, they don't really work with home-based food businesses in a sense. Once you've established yourself locally in some smaller venues and then approach them, that's different. Then you've got that momentum behind you, and you say, you know what? Kroger or Publix or whomever it may be, the nationwide chain that might say, where are you right now? What stores are you in? Show us some type of sales history. Is this even selling? How long have you been in the business doing this? So with all of those smaller accounts, it gives you momentum to approach the bigger ones. Okay. Now, to kind of tag along that idea of having multiple accounts, it is really beneficial to drum up as many as you can, because in some cases, they may come and they may go, because if you have a great product and it's selling well and seasonally, there's a certain seasonality, believe it or not, to of course, food products for the most part, especially if they're really niche products that are in a certain niche. Okay, so the idea of drumming up multiple channels to sell your product through is the best route to go, because you're going to have some that initiate a contact with you. They buy the product, but they may fade away, or they may fade out the product. It may sell okay, but not sell great. So having multiple avenues, different stores, different cafes, different restaurants, brainstorm where your product would be best fit. And then that way, when you're making it, as you continue to grow the business, expect that some of those may drop off. So you'll have other constant forms of revenue coming in from other venues and different outlets. Lastly, I want to touch on, and this is kind of like the fun part of having a food business, is getting really creative and expanding on a food line. So let's say you were in, you had a recipe for a hot sauce, okay? And just as an example, one recipe, one specific flavor, it tastes amazing. Your family and friends tell you you should make it and you sell it. So you begin to sell the product and you have one. But as you go along, think of a line that may infuse different flavors, different flavor profiles, to create a line of hot sauces as opposed to just a hot sauce, an individual one. And of course, this goes with anything. I'm just using hot sauces as an example. The reason why is because a lot of times certain types of flavored products would sell better in certain areas or regions of your state or maybe even where you are, beginning locally. And then as it goes on, you can begin to introduce those flavors to the restaurants or the grocery stores or whomever you're selling it to. And you begin to expand on the line, so you're going to get more shelf space. Your product's going to have more opportunity to sell because your flavor profiles will appeal to more people. Okay, if you've got one plain, simple flavor of a certain product, it doesn't have to be hot sauce again, that can only appeal to a certain amount of people. But if they love that and they're like, wow, you know what, maybe you should infuse some mango or something tropical flavor or maybe some habanero or something other, some other variation, get outside the box and don't think of it just as one product. Try to create a product lineup. And that's going to give you an edge and the opportunity to get into more stores, appeal to more taste buds, of course, and then grow your customer base because you've got a variety of products and not just one. So don't get so stuck and fixated on one specific type of flavor or profile from a product. If you make it and you make it really well and you know how the recipe works, begin to experiment with it. Create a line of products based around that one single one. Don't just rely on one. Okay, because that's also another great way to scale a business, is because then you become more appealing to a lot more people, and therefore that's going to translate into sales, and more people are going to want your product. But limiting yourself to just one single thing, or maybe even two, it's okay, but it would be best if you had a variety of products, and you've got maybe four or five, or maybe half a dozen, maybe six, and then from there, sometimes even people grow even more than that, and then that way you open yourself up to a lot of other people. So with that being said, those are five different things you want to think about when it does come to scaling a food business. And hopefully those five things are some of the most basic things to think about, but they're super, super important when you are in a position to step out of where you are and you've kind of maxed out where you are and you want to scale it to the next level. A lot of times the transition from a home-based business is really a commercial kitchen, renting a commercial kitchen, and be staying local for a while until you have a little bit more sales, more cash flow, and then you can begin to approach those larger nationwide chains or larger grocery chains. That is really the best way to do it. And plus, it doesn't cost a lot as much as you may think when you do it that way. The method of scaling it as your market dictates to you what it wants, it's not going to have to pull so much money out of your pocket, because then you begin to get orders for products. You can make the product then because you're anticipating those funds to be in. And then that way you're not having to dig deep to try to create thousands and thousands of units and then hopefully someone buys it. Drum up the interest first, get the orders, and then fill it. All right, guys, so I'm going to wrap up the podcast. I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to today's podcast. If you have not checked out YouTube, check out our channel on YouTube. If you haven't checked out our podcast, you can check us out online as well. And as always, if you need any consultation or consulting, I'm available. I've got several different packages and different types of consulting, whatever your budget may be. And I look forward to seeing you guys on the next video or talking with you on the next podcast. Do take care.